Shocker, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm actually walking the aisles of IKEA right now. So
wow,
being very domesticated now that I'm home, doing some shopping at IKEA.
Nice. So basically, can you tweet out pictures of you frustrated when you can't assemble your IKEA thing tonight?
Trying to put together the Sven bookshelf.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's funny? Randine and I are actually quite good at assembling IKEA furniture. It's this bizarre. Normally, it basically causes couples to break up. But we actually are not bad
at
assembling IKEA furniture.
Once you've done a few of them, they're all pretty much similar, right? But the first few is usually one where you're like, let me do it myself. Get out of the room because someone's going to lose their time.
Well, it is a test of the relationship. There's no question. And if you're on the fence about your person and you're not really sure.
Yeah, you know, go get IKEA. Go buy it.
Go buy a piece of IKEA furniture and open it up and hand them the instructions, and you will learn everything you need to know about whether or not you should stick around or not. Because if it's carnage, well, it's probably not going to work out.
Bob Green. I know Mackenzie tweeted out that I made a few phone calls, and obviously Bob Green's going to get the promotion kind of heading up player development, which from what I understand of my source, Shogart, I don't know who you've talked to since, that he'll likely oversee all of this, you know, kind of both levels of scouting. I couldn't get a confirmation if that means he has any sort of kind of final veto over Stu McGregor or not at the draft table, but it sounds like Bob Green's definitely going to have much more say in the drafting and development within the organization.
Yeah, and that's the part that we need to figure out is whether this is just strictly about taking the assets that are drafted and signed into the organization and doing a better job of developing them, and that's what he heads up and what he's in charge of, or if it's overseeing all of it, including the draft, deciding who comes in and who doesn't, right? Because it's two, not different jobs, but it's two big jobs. So if he's the guy that can sit at the draft table and say, no, I've seen him and no, or whether he's the guy who, once they draft players, sort of oversees the development of them. And if it's both, it is a promotion. It is a big job. But I think if you're the Oilers and you're taking a look in the mirror, I think, yeah, as bad as the drafting record itself has been, I think the development record has been equally bad. And so it becomes a chicken and egg, right, guys? Well, are they drafting bad players, or are they drafting okay players and just not developing them properly? And I think the development model deserves every bit as much scrutiny as the drafting model.
Yeah, I agree, Ryan. I think you're right on it there. You know, it's like with Nicholson. To me, Nicholson is brought in higher. They can talk about dual roles. To me, he's going to assess what's going on at the top end. For me, Green is going to be the guy who looks at Maury Gehr and his pro scouting staff and Stu McGregor and his. And if there's changes that are going to be made there, I think Bob Green is going to be the hammer this offseason, and I think he's also going to look at the player development people that you mentioned. You know, there's a couple of positions there, and how, once we get the kids, what are we doing with them? I think Bob comes in with a lot of say on both levels.
Well, and they would be well off to empower somebody to oversee all of those things, right? Because right now they've got a whole bunch of people on the development side, whether it's, you know, was Bucky before and Billy Moores and, you know, just all these sort of, you know, Rick Carrier and all these kind of people that are there that are kind of, that are there to do it and oversee it. But to put one guy in charge, and Bob, I think Bob's got a good track record of showing he certainly knows, he can certainly find good young talent. I mean, for sure. He built an Oil Kings team that was pretty successful. The pro side of it is where it'll be interesting for me. I mean, how much experience and, you know, if he's in any way running a pro scouting staff, I'm not sure. I don't know what experience he has doing that. So I'll be interested to see exactly, you know, when we get a chance to talk to him, exactly what his purview is. But it's good that they are putting somebody in place to oversee all of it, because all of it needs a fresh look.
Ryan Rashog joins us. It definitely needs a look. And, we talked about the development of the draft. And, yeah, I definitely agree the development from the organization just as a whole. Like in 2011, when you had five players in your top nine who were either rookies or sophomores, it's just – it's a recipe for disaster. And, you know, Leon Draisaitl, I wrote the article today before the Bob Green announcement, then I just added that at the end in regards to maybe the Leon Draisaitl is the first step in the direction. Maybe Martin Marincin as well, how they're like, hey, this kid's got to develop other areas of his game. Mm. He can't work on being better in tough areas of the game at the NHL. He has to excel in those areas in the AHL. Then he can do it in the NHL. And they need to do that with Darnell Nurse. They need to do it with whoever the draft pick is this year, barring if they get McDavid or Eichel, because I think those two guys are going to go to the NHL. But every other pick in this year's draft should be back in junior, Ryan. I don't care who it is. I don't think, unless it's McDavid and Eichel, none of them should be in the NHL.
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you who might be is Lawson Crouse. He just might end up staying wherever he goes because he's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's got some offense to his game. So I'm not saying I disagree with you, but I'm saying
like for the Oilers, though,
example.
On this team, this team is different than most because they've got so much youth, they don't need more.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting because maybe that's a position where you end up bumping up against Craig McTavish a little bit in that position, right? If you are in charge of the development of these players, I mean, if Bob Green believes firmly that, well, Darnell Nurse should not be in the NHL right away, or that Leon Draisaitl should get some American League time at the start of next year, or, you know, now you're putting a guy in a position to maybe have those conversations. Because, I mean, really, that's the GM and the coach's call to make. But if you're putting a guy in charge of developing the players properly and he believes the way to develop players is to give them time in the American League, It'll be interesting to see. And I've talked about this before, guys. We will know, in my mind, we will know if anything has really changed with the way the Oilers view their development model. If opening night next year, one or both of Nurse or Draisaitl are in the American Hockey League to start the year, as opposed to standing on the blue line for the Oilers, right? We'll know if things have changed. Darnell Nurse will be the great example of that. Because as good as he's been and as good as he is, the natural development curve for that kid is to go play in the American Hockey League to start. And if he excels there, then he's ready to be a good player at the NHL level. We'll see if they're still in the mindset of rush him in at all costs, because they've got a really good asset in Nurse. And we'll see who's in charge, who's making that call, and if they've really changed their stripes at all.
That's interesting, Ryan. Generally speaking, I agree with your take, but how about this? Because now with Nurse, we'll be talking a third training camp next year, as opposed to a first or a second. I believe that if he comes in, and the term Jason used earlier is blow the doors off, then and earns it, we talk about messages all the time. I think it's fair to let him at least start. Preconceived notions, no matter what, I think they can be harmful both ways, no?
Yeah, I think so, Robin. But the problem is the Oilers have to make some important decisions in the offseason based on where they view Darnell Nurse sliding into their lineup, right? So they have to make those decisions in the offseason, just like they had to make them this past offseason where their center ice position was concerned. And I guess my point is, if the organization continually, year after year, looks at these young players and feels like, hey, they just might be ready, well, then you know what they don't do? They don't go out and get players to compete for those positions.
Yeah,
they feel like they got guys there already. So the problem is they don't create the internal competition because they overestimate how ready these guys are. Then the guys show up at camp, of course they look good. Of course they look like they fit because they never went out and got anybody else to come in and make sure they had someone to compete for that position.
We saw
that classic example with Draisaitl. I'll be interested to see if we see it with Darnell Nurse next year. If they get anybody on that left side who's truly going to push and compete and make Darnell earn his place in the NHL as opposed to handing it to him once free agency calms down and everybody knows there's his spot. They never got anybody.
Yeah, big difference. I completely agree. I should have said that. They need to plan like he won't be there, but let the kid still compete.
Exactly. That's exactly the point. Because if you plan for him to be there, then you're just going to want to be optimistic. They were so optimistic with Draisaitl. Oh, he looks good. Exhibition looks good. It's still making plays. And they're optimistic. And then it starts to slide the other way, and they're still trying to see the good in it and trying to talk themselves into that because they don't have any other options. Whereas if they go the other way and hey, if the kid beats him out, he beats him out. Well, now you got Keith Ollie playing in the minors on an NHL deal, you know, so what? But if there's nobody there and they're there by default, you're looking through it through wrong colored glasses, and that's the way they went at it with Draisaitl this year.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. You're right, with Draisaitl and Arcabello, and we can go down the list. And a lot of that comes then to your pro scouting. Like, if your pro scouting can't get your GM or your coach some competent players, then get rid of your pro scouts.
Oh, for sure. And that's a huge part of being able to gather the intelligence you need to make decisions. So, in other words, you know, Craig McTavish needs to be able to go to his pro scouts and go, look, there are no centers available in free agency who are going to come here at a dollar that makes any sense. Who's out there? What organizations out there have guys that are on the cusp of making their team that maybe we can squeeze out of there? I mean, there's a Ray Ferraro was telling me about a guy in Detroit, and I don't pretend to know a lot about him, but this is what pro scouts should know. Joaquin Anderson, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
A guy who is kind of up and down with Detroit and tough to stay in their lineup, but who would step into the Oilers organization right away and provide some, and he's a younger guy with some contract left. And sure, maybe you got to give up an asset to get the player, but you'll get a few years out of the player too. My point is that a general manager's pro scouting staff, if he's smart, he's pushing them all the time to give him options, tell him what's going on out there. And I'll tell you what, I got a bit of a sense for the way a guy like David Poile runs his pro scouting staff in Nashville. They're pushed all the time for intelligence, for information, what's going on, suggestions, give me ideas, keep them coming. And maybe he never even pulls the trigger on any single one of them. But that's a big part of what he expects out of his pro scouting staff. And I haven't seen it in Edmonton. I would be shocked if that's the same strategy or philosophy that the pro scouts in Edmonton for the Oilers have been asked to do.
Yeah, you know, exactly. You need to get, as a GM, something from your pro scouts that you can't get yourself just sitting there.
Totally.
You know, you go into the organizations. Now, you can't talk to players, but you can certainly talk to coaches and hang out.
Or, you can talk to agents.
Yeah. These guys have coffee all the time in the corner of those rinks.
Yeah.
Scout on scout. Hey, what's this guy really like? You know, how does he come across as a character guy? We can see what he does on the ice. You need to get something from these guys on the payroll that an average fan, or like I say, the GM himself, can't get just sitting there. Don't you think so?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And the guys need to be out there. They need to be active. They need to be working their contacts. They need to be, needs to be more than just watching games and filing reports. It has to be. Like, Craig McTavish should be able to pick up his phone and talk to any one of his pro scouts at any given time and say, okay, give me three names of guys you think that are gettable that can help us right now. Go. Who do you got? And Craig can't be everywhere. He can't see everything. They need to be his eyes and his ears in the pro game and come to the table with ideas, realistic options, realistic ideas, and push the envelope. And I don't know if Craig challenges his people to do that or not, but there are GMs out there who certainly do. And that should be part of what those scouts are pushed every day to do. And you know what? Same thing with the amateur scouts. You know, same thing with the amateur. A guy should be able to say, you know what? Man, like, I've been watching our guy and I've been watching their guy and I just see something in their guy. And if we can swing a trade, this prospect for that one, you know, playing in the Western, whatever the case might be. Guys need to bring more than just filing reports at games. And that's what good scouting staffs and good scouts can do for an organization.
Well, I agree, Shogger, and we'll see if Bob Green, is this the start of a new change in the development and drafting of the Edmonton Oilers? Because we all know, based on track record, they've got to change that for sure. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we need they need change for sure, and maybe Bob is the guy, but it's a step, I suppose.
Well, he's got a really good track record of you know, in two different organizations, of developing young players at even a harder age and building them into winning programs, and he's ran the whole organization. So I definitely think he's got a track record of success.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Char. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, boys. I'm just looking at some Tupperware here, so I'm gonna run here. It's a good deal on Tupperware.
Oh, hey, buddy. I'm sure you know all the patterns, too, so enjoy.
See you guys.